Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Tonight's episode will be Let's Talk Money, Church, Musicians, and Preachers.
The day I was born,
join us after the song. I am the
treasure.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, Dirty Church Radio. I hope all is well with everyone. I hope you all had a blessed Sunday today, whatever services you went to. I hope that you had heard a great encouraged word that blessed your life, that brought change to you, that will help you be a better husband, a better wife, a better son, a better daughter, a better nephew, a better niece, a better grandfather, brother, grandmother, just a better friend, a better person. The life that we're in today, I believe that we should try every day to be better than yesterday for as long as we see today. So for every day that you wake up with another opportunity, it's a day that you should try to strive to be better than you were the day before. We all can do better. We can all treat each other better. Tonight, I'm praying that Apostle Louis Jung, one of the hosts, and Brother Aaron, the Devil's Advocate Spradley, that he calls in and joins us tonight. The topic that we have tonight is really going to be a series. It's not just going to be one night of talking about it. because we want to hear from many people from different states, different upbringings. We want to hear different experiences. And we want to talk about, let's talk money, church, musicians, and preachers. What takes place in our churches? What do we experience? What effect does money have on the church? What effect does money have on the musicians? What effect does money have on the preachers? How do we deal with money? Does money bring ill situations? Does money bring hatred? Does money break relationships? Is it all about money? Or is it all about God? How do we find balance? Just dealing with, even in church, I know a lot of people that I talk to that don't go to church. They say they don't go to church because they think the preachers are taking all the money or they want too much money, which in some cases it may be true, but it's not in all cases. There are plenty of real men of God who truly believe in their assignment in God, and they want to truly build the kingdom. But I do also believe that there are preachers who are out here who get a glimpse of the glamour, the fame. I believe that their heads become swollen. They read their own press, their own headlines, and they think they just become so great that we have to spend so much on them to actually hear a word. And tonight's episode is really not to offend no one. It's not to bring any discord with anyone, but it's just to talk real. It's to talk about what people are really feeling, even with musicians. You got different angles dealing with the musicians. Some people feel as though musicians shouldn't get paid. Some people feel as though they should get paid. It's a lot of issues when it comes dealing with money and musicians and church. Through different experiences that I even had, it's a lot of different situations that you might have. Right now I have a caller calling in. I'm going to see who this caller is right now. Hold on. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Where you calling from?
I live in the Chicago area.
In the Chicago area?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Appreciate you calling in tonight. Hello?
Yes.
I said, I appreciate you calling in to the show tonight.
Thank you. I just dialed in to listen to what the discussion. But I hadn't heard anything.
Oh, yeah. Tonight, the show, we started a little late. Different ones, we was in church service, and church ran a little late, different things. So I'm on here a little late tonight. It was supposed to start at 8, so I just got on here to around 9 o'clock tonight. Normally, mm-hmm. The show is, we have like a two-hour show, but tonight it'll probably be like an hour, or we might go over a little bit. But tonight's show, we're going to be talking about money, church, musicians, and preachers, how
mm-hmm.
money affects the body of Christ and the different experience that people have when it comes to money. When it comes, it seems like in a lot of situations when money gets involved, sometimes discord or disagreements and breakups seem to happen when it comes to money. It's not always a bad thing when it comes with money, but a lot of times there are many issues. And I know whoever out there listening, there's many musicians, many preachers, many church people, period, know that when it comes to money, they have seen a lot of issues happen or take place. So tonight's show is really just to hear what the people, different experiences, what they've experienced in church. You know what I mean? Do we believe that?
Well, one thing I've seen is your money puts you in a position to receive certain things or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in a lot of church situations, money is power. So the person that gives the most or whatever, they get more attention. That's one thing that I've noticed in the church.
Wow. Yeah.
And I've been in church all my life.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that
it shouldn't be that way, but that's a reality?
Yes, it is. So you would say people that have more, that will have more money in church, seem to have more respect because
yes,
they have more money, so they get
and
to do
influence
a little bit more.
And influence.
And influence.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I've heard of, I know of a person in particular, when things happen in the church and she don't agree, she said all she had to do is hold them tides and then she'll get a conversation with the pastor.
Wow. So isn't that something? It's something how, according to the word, tithes is not even ours. That belongs to God. That doesn't even belong to you. But how, if things don't go our way, we use the tithes as a stronghold.
Right.
To try to get our agenda done in the church. And see, that's why I wanted to have this talk show on this topic, because there are many issues when it comes to money. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? How, like you just said, it's a strong power play when you have money. People are treated a little different. They have more say, and that's true. That is true. And I'm not saying, when I'm making this statement, I'm not saying that it's this way in every church, because I have not been inside of every church that exists in the world. But
right,
the majority of churches that I've been in or I've seen, I have seen that. I have seen that, that the more cheese or money that you have, the stronger your influence is. That is
right.
true.
And in all actuality, it shouldn't be that way.
You're right. It shouldn't be that way. I believe that everybody in the church should be equal. It should be equal. We come to church to give God praise. And I believe, listen, like my pastor, he preached today, all of us are in debt to God when it comes to our praise and our worship.
Yeah.
We owe God, not just for the things that he's done for us. It's just because he's God and he created us to give him praise. With every breath that we take, we owe God. For every second, every moment that we're still existing, we owe God. That's something. Well, are there any other experiences that you've seen in church when it comes with money, the effects of money in church?
Basically, with what I said, the influence and the power, that kind of thing. But
okay,
it shouldn't be that way.
Well, let me ask you this: what do you feel about if a preacher asks you, if he's coming to preach and he charges, let's just give a number, $60,000 to come preach, do you believe that would be the will of God?
That's a hard one, but I think some ministers, or, you know, the high-powered one, they require a certain amount. But to an extent, I think they overtax the people of God.
Okay. Okay. Let me ask you this. If Jesus was to come down, if Jesus, God Almighty, the creator of the world, the creator of the moon, of the stars, who hung the trees, gave the birds its wings to fly, created everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that God tells a man that it is the will that you charge my people $50,000 or $60,000 to come, and if they don't give it to you, you don't come preach?
Just right off, I would say no.
Okay. Hold on.
I would say no. We know that the Bible say the workman is worthy of his hire. And if it's, I think the spirit draws spirit. And with whatever that person minister, the Holy Spirit will minister to you what to give.
Okay.
But then we, you know, we have a lot of people that wouldn't give or whatever. But I think, you know, maybe a base, but one time $50,000 or $60,000. Well, it depends if you're in a large arena or something like that. I don't know, but I don't just ask him for that kind of money. I don't think so. I may be wrong, but I don't think so.
Okay.
I
well, right now we have our other co-host, our brother Aaron. He's on the line right now.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
What's going on, Reverend Bishop?
Apostle.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing blessed and highly favored. Thank you very much. How are you, gentlemen and young lady, doing?
Fine.
Yes, this is a caller from Chicago, man.
Oh, Chicago, the Windy City.
Yeah.
Oh, so how is it right now in Chicago?
It has been windy today.
It has been windy today?
Yes.
Okay. I've never actually visited Chicago, but I always wanted to go visit. Heard so many great things about it.
Well, our brother Aaron, you know what the topic is tonight, and the lady from Chicago, she made a statement how, because I'm asking different callers to come in and give us their different experiences on their take when it comes to money, church, musicians, and preachers. So what effect do they see that money plays in the church, whether it be negative or positive? And she was saying that she knows of someone who, if they don't like something, they'll hold back their ties until the pastor talks to them. So they'll use the influence of them, because she says that people with more money in church seem to have more influence in the church.
They have more what?
Those who have less money.
They have more what? I couldn't hear you.
Influence.
Oh,
in
influence.
The church.
Okay.
Yes, that have more money. So she knows someone who will hold their ties back so they can get their agenda accomplished in the church.
Mm. I see that as enemy working.
You see that as the enemy working?
Of course. I mean, why would somebody spitefully hold back money for their own, I guess, their own gain in some kind of way? You know, more in a spiteful way.
Yeah.
I don't think that's, you know, something of God per se. I think that's, you know, that's very negative and condescending to the ministry and condescending to, you know, the people of the church, the congregation, and, you know, and that the most important thing, the vision of the church.
Yeah. Yes. That right there, I truly agree with that. If you read on here on the topic of this show, if you read the sidebar, there was a statement made that I believe that the love of money in the church is the lack of money in the church is where the problem begins in the church. Whether you're dealing with preachers, musicians, or just the church in general.
Well, I think it depends on the church as a whole way, individual church per se. You have some of the higher scale churches where they you know, with the bigger congregation, what we now call mega churches, and then you have the smaller churches. I believe what allows the mega churches to be mega is because they function as a business, and the more successful your vision is in the business aspect of it, the more successful your church would be. And the smaller churches usually don't necessarily focus on the business aspect of it. I'm not saying that all small churches are like this, but a lot of churches, they focus more on the community, they focus more on helping people, and they're not necessarily looking for their church to be a mega church per se. I can't speak for everybody. I'm just, you know, there may be some out there that are like that. There may be some out there that are may not like that. So I guess it depends on, you know, the visionary of the church. And if the visionary of the church is a very business-oriented person and knows how to handle business, and not only in church, but you see prosperous in other areas of his life, then chance most likely the vision for the church that he has will be prosperous because he knows how to create business and allow revenue to allow the business, the church, or whatever his endeavor is to grow.
Okay. That's a good point. I hear that. I believe that.
Well, I'm sorry. You said something about the love of money.
The love of money and the lack of money, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Issues.
I understand what you mean. I know what you mean. You're saying because people that don't have money, the people that don't have money love money to the point where they don't want to let it go. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you can look at it that way, too. What I'm saying is the love of money angle, meaning some of the preachers or some of the ones who use the manipulation form to rob God's people. All right, that can be a problem too. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that all preachers are that way. There are real preachers. I know real preachers. I believe my man of God is a real preacher, a real anointed man of God. And the thing I love about him is that he loves people. And I know that he has a heart for people. And he puts people first. Like, I mean, he'll go out his way. But I'm talking about the one who won't come give a word because you don't have a certain amount for them. Like, if they charge $50,000 to come preach. And this is my opinion. I'm speaking the way I feel. This is how I feel. I don't feel that the God, whether you say the God of the Bible or God, whatever God, I'm just saying God of the Bible, the God that I believe is my Lord and Savior, I don't believe that it's in his will that if I'm a preacher and my job is to spread the gospel, my assignment is to bring deliverance to God's people, to set the captive free, you know what I mean, to feed the hungry and to do different things. I don't believe that if I put a amount on the word and the church can't afford that word, that amount, I have a problem, like, if the preacher won't come preach. Like, I have a problem with that. And that's just me. And you might say, well, that's business. But then again, it's kind of like, well, does the business override the purpose of the word, which is to be spread?
I don't know whose computer is that, but it's loud and the feedback is crazy on my side. I don't know how it is on anybody else's side.
Oh, it's real loud?
Yeah. Hello?
No, I don't hear it.
Oh, yeah, it's better now. Whoever was is better. What I would have to say about that is preachers who have set prices to go places, to go somewhere, preaching to most people is an occupation, and it's their career. It's how they make a living. It's how they feed their family. It's how they pay their bills and everything else. And if I've been preaching for 20 years, 30 years, and I have established myself to be a very renowned preacher, someone who dedicates my life to doing this, and basically I am a preacher who has now come to a status of popularity, and a lot of people actually demand me. You have to also take into account what that costs. And that costs family time. That costs my own personal lifetime. That actually cost me, to be honest, it cost me a whole lot. And I'm giving up a whole lot for the purpose or the better purpose of the saints. Now, I believe that they should ask for price, and whatever they believe that they're worth, I believe it's well deserved, because I am taken away from myself in a lot of ways. I'm not necessarily saying that because it's not biblical, but from a personal.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about from the biblical point. If you're really called, right? I'm just saying, if God is sending you on a mission, and you're on mm-hmm. assignment, and that's what I'm talking about. If you're really called by God to deliver a word, if you're truly called by God to deliver a word, he has you on assignment. I don't believe he sends you on assignment for you to set a price or a mountain. You can say, all right, my family, and you can use that as an excuse, but when you accept God from that angle, to accept his calling, and you accept it, it comes with a sacrifice.
Yeah, and
your life is not like as
sacrifice.
If you just. No, it comes with a sacrifice. It meaning your time is some things that you do have to, you know what I mean, take on the chin. Like, it's some things that you have to deal with. God, you're trusting in God that he will provide. I believe TV and seeing the glam of others have made it that way. That's just my take on it. But I'm going to let you talk, but I'm going to let this caller in.
Okay.
From a strange number. I don't know if it's a computer number or something, but I'm going to let him in. I don't know who it is.
Hello,
caller?
Hello, this is Mr. X-Catholic. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
All right. Just checking in. I've been listening for about the past 5 minutes. Just want to say hi to everybody.
How you doing,
but,
man?
I'm doing great. In fact, I should be charging you guys just for me to be talking right now.
You say you should be charging us?
Yeah, just for me taking out this time for my family. I'm just messing with you, though.
Yeah, we're going to write you a check, but it's going to bounce. No,
just waiting for it, right? Yeah.
But, go ahead, Aaron. You can go ahead and continue.
To finish what I was saying, I don't think it's an excuse by any means for somebody to say that I'm sacrificing my time, because they don't necessarily have to. Whether someone believes it's a true calling or not a true calling, I mean, I don't know how anyone can tell the difference. If if I'm good at this and I feel as though, you know, I'm doing this
nice
to,
with it.
Not just nice with it, but I'm actually doing it to help win souls. Like I said, I'm not necessarily talking from a Bible's aspect, because if I'm talking from a Bible's aspect, then money shouldn't even be in all, because Christ never went around asking for money in any type of way. But I'm just talking from the standpoint of the church right now and how the church is set up right now. And because the church is set up the way it is,
you can't compare your situation to like Christ, because Christ did it in the streets, on the front porch, anywhere. So I mean,
yeah.
Nowadays, really, if they want a preacher to preach from his heart, you know, simply for the helping of the others and for, you know, showing people the word, hey, do it on your front porch. But I mean, the minute that you build a building, I mean, the preacher that can, you know, has to pay for the building. Now, if they're giving away buildings for free just for people to go pray at, that's a different story. Now, if you get the building for free, and then now you're going to go charge people to come listen to your word, you know, that you're volunteering your time to go preach that word at, then that's a different story. That's like a
Yeah, that's. I mean, I totally agree with you. That's more what I'm saying. Because of the way church is organized right now, the way church is totally different from the way during the first century with Jesus and many before him and after him. It's a total different environment,
is somebody
situation and everything. So, hello?
Is somebody
hello?
Paying for this radio station?
Say that
hello?
Again? Is somebody paying for it?
Like, I don't really know how to set up for this Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, it's not free.
It's not free. So, really, just for me to be, you know, chiming in, I would totally understand if you told me, like, look, Brother Bruce, look, it's, you know, this month I can't necessarily make that payment, but, you know, this is worth it. You know, can you help me out? You understand? That's how I look how the church
no,
is.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't
they're
see,
asking for donations. Go ahead.
Now, see, I don't see nothing wrong. That's a little different. I'm talking about if you are a preacher, right?
Yeah.
You are a man of God that has the anointing, and you walk in deliverance, and you bring, I mean, you come and you, I mean, you set people free. You get them saved. I mean, you do what you do. My thing is like this. If a church doesn't have a certain amount that you require and you refuse to come, They're saying they're going to give you something. They're going to try to bless you. I believe every man of God deserves a blessing. But I don't believe that it's God's will that you put a price tag on it. It's almost like, that's almost like, really?
Yeah, like you're too poor to get this word today.
Yeah, it's almost like word is bomb, right? You got, I hate to say it like this, but it's like, yo, you got a drug that everybody wants. If you know they hooked.
Okay,
you know
Jay, I have a statement. Like, all right. Basically, is everybody still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're listening.
Okay, basically, what happens is you don't have to ask me to preach at your church. There's thousands and thousands of preachers, you know, in the world that you can come get to preach at your church. My thing is talking from an experience.
If you want, you pay me.
No, talking from an someone who actually experienced not me per se, but dealing with a family that actually, you know, experienced father who was a pastor who actually didn't have the time to spend with his family because of the duty he had for the people. That is not an easy job. It's mentally and physically, emotionally stressful, because you're not only taking on the welfare of yourself and your family, you're taking on the welfare of however many people your congregation holds, and not only that, but the people you actually minister to on the outside of your congregation. That is very...
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that I'm saying that a preacher doesn't deserve to be blessed or get money? I'm not saying that.
Oh no, I know what you're saying. You're saying that it shouldn't be that a preacher should go in and say, okay, I want $50,000, and if you don't give it to me, I'm not going to come preach at your church. I'm saying he's well deserved $50,000. If he has
but
come,
say if he get that, I'm saying if he got that, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. But I believe when you put a tag on it like that, in my opinion, I don't believe when they do that, that's God's will. I don't believe that's God's will.
Yeah, I'm with that now.
Like I said, I'm saying it's God's will. Not one time I say it's God's will. I'm just saying the church is set up today.
That $50,000 price is outrageous because you know it's really you're paying for that person's name and that person's reputation to come preach at your church. But on the flip side, now you know that, especially you coming from, you know, a father that was a preacher, somebody's got to pay that electric bill for that air conditioning that all these people are coming in to sit in the church for, you know, to come get this word. Now, he might not necessarily ask you guys, you know, to everybody that came to the church that weekend to that you have to pay. And from my experience going to your father's church, he wouldn't even ask for it. Now, they ask for a donation if you can, but you wouldn't be shunned away, you know, because you had nothing to give. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, but yeah, the whole and I also have a problem with if a preacher comes to a church, he leaves with more money than was left there for the church.
that's a touchy one, you know what I mean? But see, here's the thing. Imagine you are the preacher at the church, right? And I am Oprah, okay? I am Oprah, and I come to your church, and I feel blessed by this sermon or by this, you know, what you preached today, and I feel that you touched my life and you changed my life today with what, you know, with what you taught, right?
You wouldn't expect Oprah to give you $6.
No, not just that, but I mean, the thing is, without you asking Oprah, but Oprah decides out of the kindness of her heart because she feels like you touched her and she wants to touch you back, okay? And she gives the church, you know, a donation, you know, a regular tithe donation, but after that, she also gives a donation to the preacher himself for, you know, his service, you know, for touching her like that. Now, is it wrong for that preacher to walk away with that $50,000 check from Oprah? I wouldn't say so. Not necessarily.
No.
That was more like a personal tithe.
No, what I'm saying is, to the point where the preacher comes to preach, they raise the offering, right? Now, the church does not have all the money to give the preacher. So they wind up going in the hole just to satisfy the honorarium that the preacher requires.
Well, then this is what I have to say about that. Then the church, like I said in the beginning, the church is not oriented. Because why would you put on the church more than what the church can actually bear? If you know that this preacher is asking for $50,000 or $10,000, whatever the price is, and you already know that that could be something that may be an issue, don't invite that preacher.
Now, sometimes for some churches, that's an investment sometimes. Because sometimes for churches, they can drop $50,000 on a preacher like that, knowing that it's gonna, a lot of people know that preacher, and everybody's gonna say, oh, guess what?
True.
Such and such went to this church, and then people are gonna be drawn to that church, you know, thinking that, yeah, you know, they have a reputation for having the more esteemed preachers coming out there. So they might be looking at it like it's an investment, you know, as opposed to we're just going in the hole on this $50,000, and it's not, you know, we might not necessarily ever see it again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, and that's one of the techniques that a lot of churches do to allow their ministry to grow. They bring in big names. So,
that's the show business part of it.
Yeah, and like I said, you got to remember, not dealing with the church during the time of Antioch, I'm sorry, not Antioch, but dealing with the Church of Antiquity. This is dealing with today's church, and today's church is in by no means comparison to the churches that Paul actually established and set up. Totally different. Totally different. So in that respect, you have to take in consideration our time that we're actually in and our culture that we're actually in. And
there is a problem with that concept though. There is one problem.
If you look at the
let's say basketball stars, sports stars nowadays, we all on this phone conversation know that this thing could get out of control real fast. And then you're looking at baseball players who are making $5 million a year, you know, for playing. I'm going to a league right now to go play baseball. I'm paying to be in the league. This dude, because he's good, he's getting paid $5 million just to come out and play. But it can go out of control with these preachers also, that to the point that it doesn't even make sense the amount of money that they're getting paid. You know, there should be some guideline still, you know, in my opinion. There should be some sort of guideline. Like you know, what do they do for the sports players? They create, when they saw it was going out of control, a salary cap. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, but like I said, this is what happens. Smart business people, they do not take on a debt that they should not be able to handle. So a baseball team, as well as a church, should not bring in a player or a preacher that they know is going to put them in a financial bind. You just shouldn't do it. You don't need certain preachers, and if you don't need them, you don't have to have them. But churches do that as a business or as a technique to grow their ministry, and it's on them. They don't have – nobody's sticking a gun to anybody's head saying that these preachers have to come. Nobody.
Now, do you think it's the responsibility of these preachers to self-impose their own salary cap, like so they don't just become like, you know, money-hungry preachers that, you know, they because my value can go up, and you know, next year it's $100,000 that people are willing to pay. I'm not forcing them; they're just willing to pay $100,000 for me to come out. And then, as a preacher, should I be saying, okay, look, I am a man of God. Okay, there is no way that for me to come preach the word on a one weekend to you guys that it should ever even come out to $100,000. If it comes out to $100,000, something is broken in the system. Do you think that preachers should be knowledgeable enough to be able, you know, to self-cap themselves? You know what I'm saying?
Well, listen, this is my thing. You also have to take into consideration the churches that we're talking about. If we're talking about apples and oranges, meaning the church, the storefront church on the corner who probably brings in $1,700 a Sunday or a weekend, you know, from services, compared to a mega church who brings in $3.2 million on the weekend, then the little church shouldn't be asking the big preachers whose salary is that to come down and do that, unless they're doing a pro bono. That's a different story. You know what I'm saying? But you
shouldn't even be asking such an exaggerated amount, period. No matter what, whether the fact, the word of God is the word of God, right? You decided you were meant to preach the word of God, okay? So nobody said that you should be getting paid for this. Somehow, somewhere along the way, the system got messed up, and okay, you're getting paid for it. Fine. We understand that, you know, you need a flight to come out to our church. You need a place to stay at a hotel to come out to our church. Okay, so I get that. But when you start getting into $50,000, $100,000, I don't care, mega million church, mega whatever, billion church, you're still preaching from the same Bible. You're still preaching the same scriptures. I don't care if your delivery is smooth. I don't care if you wear a nice suit while you deliver it. You're preaching from the same Bible. So in my opinion, I don't think that Because your time is more. You a man just like me. You a grown man. I'm a grown man. What? Because people know you. You should be more value. While
of course.
The same
Wait a minute.
If you're an inventor, if you are someone who is going to preach this word with some new stuff in there, with something that we couldn't realize, something that another preacher couldn't bring to the table, then I understand your value. Then I understand that you're taking the word to a different level. Now I understand why we may need, because there's a demand for you all over the place. But you preaching the same scripture? The same Bible? You better stop. Stop playing, man. Let me stop. I'm sorry.
I believe if God sends you on a mission, if God is truly sending you on a mission, he will provide. And I don't believe that you have to use manipulation to get your blessing if you're really sent by God. I believe that God will take care of you if you're really following his will and you're giving the word to his people. Because I'm like this, if it's about ministry and I give you $50,000 to come preach and I'm a church, that $50,000 could have went into feeding the hungry, to clothing the naked. It could have been just to give you that for you to come for 1 hour or hour and a half to preach a word that a regular preacher, a local preacher can preach. You know what I'm saying? I just think it's I think it's kind of mixed up. I think I blame the church because we're the one who create these superstar preachers. We're the one who create them. You know what I'm saying? We create them, and we create that problem within ourselves by putting that value on them like that.
Yeah, I agree. Because then once the preacher, out of these mega million churches you're talking about, I don't know, you know, I don't know how many people that are coming there to listen to that word that would necessarily pay, you know, $100,000 just to hear that word. Because they could have stayed home and just read that scripture and maybe looked it up and did background on that scripture and et cetera, and not have to pay no $100,000 for it at all. So when they come into that mega million church to go watch preacher such and such say the word, it's that whole publicity part that's coming in. It's that whole superstar status thing that's making them come out and give $100,000. You know what I'm saying? It's so that they can show off their new suit or their new Bentley or their new this or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So that at that point, it becomes a problem. Because you're not going there just to get that preached word that somebody will give you at your front porch of your house. Now you're doing it for the show business part. You're doing it for the business. You know what I'm saying? So it is a problem. I mean, it is a problem. You just call it like it is. It's a problem. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, Mrs. Bradley, about like how the sacrifices that they make are huge, but it's a sacrifice that they choose to make, not a sacrifice that's forced upon them. You understand what I'm saying?
I can't say,
you know what, I'm going to open up a nonprofit organization, right, that I'm going to donate this to people, this to little children, this to little, and then when other people who are starting up their nonprofit organizations want my publicity status to come help them raise money for their nonprofit, and then I say, well, you know what, I'm going to start charging them because I can't spread myself that thin just to show up at all these other, you know, nonprofits that are opening up. So I have to start charging them a little bit more for my time. It doesn't work that way. You're doing it for nonprofit. You're doing it for the sake of others. So if you're going to go in like that, you better go in all the way. You can't go in halfway. But the problem on the other, there's an extreme to everything. So the problem with Mr. Miller saying is that, like, if you do it fully from the heart, in this day and age, you're going to end up like Jesus, broke, skinny, hungry, giving your food away.
I don't believe
that, because the Bible says that God is not going to have his seed begging bread. So I don't believe that preaching God's word and doing his assignment puts you in a place where you starve.
Yes, it does.
Lack.
It puts Jesus in that place.
No, listen.
His soul was full.
Because my thing is, you can. I'm sorry, Jay. You got finish.
But you
gotta
understand, when you're talking about Jesus, you say he's fed. You say that, right? But he was able to feed 5,000. You understand what I'm saying? His mission to help others when it comes to ministry was greater than his needs. It was about
my thing was. First off, you can't necessarily compare yourself to Jesus in the sense
Just listen. Listen to what I'm saying. But we're doing, listen, we are doing. When a preacher preaching the word, and a preacher is called to preach, what is the reason why he preaches?
I guess for different preachers, it's a different reason.
Why do preachers preach according to the Bible? Like, what is it for? Like, I mean, like, why do they preach?
To spread God's word.
To spread God's word. To spread his word, right? Now, Jesus, he said that they will even do greater works than he did, right? Doesn't the Bible say that?
Yeah, it does. It does.
It says that he will do greater works.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
all right. So what I'm saying is, Jesus, he did what he did, right? And he set a standard. He set a way. And we're supposed to follow Jesus because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So if he's the way, he's the truth, and the life, according to the scriptures, when a preacher's preaching, he's supposed to follow those steps and those orders. He's supposed to follow those principles, all right? And what I'm saying is, I believe, just like me, I play in church. I'm a musician in church. And I play in church. And I get paid to play in church. Right?
Yeah.
But I can honestly say that I have played plenty of times without getting nothing. And it's not about me. It's not like I won't play if I didn't get anything. That's
too
what
bad
I'm
not
talking
all
about. Musicians
like that. Too bad not all of them are like that, though.
No, but what I'm saying, it all depends on what I mean. But you can have a musician that come to church and play. In a church. Normally when a church wants great musicians, they want great musicians because they want excellence. They want their church to function right. They want to take every area, because one thing you know when it comes to music in church, people love music, and music is powerful. I don't care what no one say, music is powerful. Music can make you feel a certain way, even if you don't even want to feel that way. Music can make you feel that way.
That's why it sets the tone a lot of times, yeah.
It sets the tone. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? It's almost like music can go in you. And, say if you're talking to me, I can ignore your words. I can, be shut that down and hear what you're saying and ignore you. But music go in you without your permission.
Ooh,
when you hear
nice.
It goes in you without your permission. It's going to make you feel the way it's going to make you feel.
You just got 10 points for that one.
You know what I'm saying? So the thing about it, in church, I play, and I love playing. Like, I love playing in church. I do get blessed, but it's not about the money with me. If I never got paid again in church, and I truly mean this, I would be okay with that.
Don't say that too loud.
I mean, I would truly be okay. I would truly be okay with that, right? Because I believe it's a greater blessing in the willingness of my heart. Because when I play in my mind, I truly think like, yo, I'm someone. God gave me this gift to bless someone. Like, this gift that he gave me was not just for me. So I'm not going to put an actual price on it. Like, I'm not going to set a price on it. Any church that I ever played at or I ever played for, I never said, this is the amount that I want.
And I never got a chance to finish saying what I was saying, but besides that, I have a question for you. Let's say that I am a drummer and I actually started playing in the church, and you know, I didn't I got paid sometimes here and there, whatever like that. But I've got to a place where, you know, I started to get popular and people started to demand me. And you're saying that, you know, if it's truly, truly, truly a gift from God and a blessing from God, and you have a purpose and intent to, you know, bless his people, you shouldn't necessarily put a price tag on a gift that he's giving you.
Listen what I'm saying.
I'm gonna forget what I had to say.
I don't want you to like put no word in it for me. Like, I want to let you know exactly what I mean, because you. I want to finish saying what I was saying, but go ahead. You cut me off. I couldn't, you know, but go ahead.
Excuse me?
I said I couldn't finish saying what I was saying, but I'll let you go ahead. Go ahead.
You already started. I can't stop you now.
No, what I was saying is I play in church, right? Like at my church, right? At my church, that's where I fellowship at and I play, and I do get paid, right? Now, me playing, but if you got to understand the difference at my church where I go to church at, right, I don't look at it from this aspect of a job at my church. Now, I done played on other things that I look at that as a job, because I have not given my obligation to that. They came to me. Those things come to me and ask me. You know what I'm saying? And it's different. I don't be like, well, listen, if you don't give me this amount, I won't play. But at least get, like, you give me something. But I'm not going to set a price. Playing in church, I done been promised stuff playing for other people in church. And then wind up not getting it. But I didn't go cussing nobody out and going off and all that type of stuff. Because I understand in church, a lot of times, they don't have it.
Because
I understand that the ministry of it is first. Go ahead.
My question is, would it be really wrong of you, let's say a church is asking you to play on Sunday when you're obligated to a different church already, and they ask you to play over there, and they beg you, and they say, please, you know, it would liven our service, and we really need it. And you say to them, like, look, I'm going to need at least, you know, $700, okay? Let's say, for example, $700, because my other church usually helps me out by giving me this much, and I need it to pay for some bills. You know, my kids got to eat 7 days this week, not five. So if you would be able to give me $700, I could come out to your church and definitely, you know, play for your service. is it so wrong to put it like that and say it like that and just be, you know, because we living in 2012 right now, and at the end of the day, you can't say to your kid, you know, when the fifth day comes, like, son, you know, you're not going to eat these next 2 days because daddy really, you know, played from his heart from this for this other church that really needed it. You know what I'm saying? You're looking at you like, whatever, daddy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I hear what you're saying with that. Well, first of all, with me personally, when it comes to my church, if I was to leave to go play somewhere else, first of all, I would make sure that my church is taken care of. I would never leave an empty spot in my church to go play somewhere else to make someone else's service greater and leave my service lacking. I would not do that. You know what I'm saying? First of all, I would make sure that my service is taken care of. And I would go to my bishop, Pastor Black Bishop, well, listen, I'm going to have so-and-so here to play, you know what I'm saying, if that's okay, because I'm going to go make this, you know, money or do this right here, this gig or whatever like that. It's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying, I'm talking about the money thing becoming your character. Like, it's like in church, saying that you're in church and that you love God and your ministry, where now everything is just, it's your character. I've been to church and a service be going on, right? The church is full of musicians. And everybody be so cocky, nobody won't go sit on the organ because no one has said they was going to give them a certain amount of money to play. So people would just sit in the audience and won't play. And we're supposed to be in the house of God. I'm talking about people with that type of attitude.
Well, you don't have to talk about those people with that type of attitude because you already know that they are doing it spitefully and doing it for wrong intentions, whether they have a gift or not. I mean, that's clear as day.
It's the same thing, though. It's the same thing with a preacher.
I'm not agreeing with preachers who spitefully do stuff. I'm just talking about the preachers who believe they deserve what they want to get paid. It's just
the Bible
like,
does say. A workman is worthy of his hire. He is worthy.
Is the money greater
than the assignment?
It is a actual occupation that some preachers take on as preaching. It's their job, literally their job. In the same way, you go to your job and you work for your job for 10 years and you get paid $70,000 and you work for 10 years and you expect raises every now and again. Every year you expect a raise, or every 2 years you expect that bonus that comes in with your job. You expect these things because you feel as though you deserve it. Now, if you're working at a job and this job and you have a gift and a talent to work at that job and you believe God still give you the gift, I mean, you know, some doctors believe that it's a gift for them. Some, you know, whatever the occupation is. My thing is, if you feel as though you've been working at this job, you're going to feel that you deserve a certain amount of money. You're going to feel it that you've been working there for a number of years. And if that's the case, I don't see any difference between that and an occupational job at the church for a preacher. Because like I said, a preacher is giving up a whole lot, whether he's doing it voluntarily or involuntarily. It calls for something that he doesn't necessarily have to do. In return, he's getting paid for his occupation because he is doing
doesn't
it in a way that nobody else is doing it. Because if he wasn't, people wouldn't ask
he have
him
to
come.
It, doesn't he have to do it?
Does he have? No, he doesn't have to do anything.
I'm saying, but isn't he called by God?
Whether somebody is called, Job, I mean, Jonah was called and Jonah didn't want to do it. God,
but what happened?
You know, huh?
What happened with Jonah?
You said, doesn't he have to do it? I'm saying, no, he doesn't have to do it.
No,
because Jonah,
saying,
in the same sense, when he didn't want to do it, he tried to flee away.
So what I'm saying is like this. What I'm saying is like this. My question was, like, when it comes to God, like the will of God, do you believe that that's the will of God? Like, that it's that way?
Like I said, I'm not talking from a biblical aspect, because from a biblical
aspect,
well, from a biblical aspect, it's all wrong.
Okay, now let me say something. My thing is, I think it's just people not calling it how it really is. In my opinion, some preachers should be calling it like it is and saying, like, look, straight up, this is my profession, this is what I do, okay? So now everybody knows where you stand, and then everybody knows, since this is your profession, you know, you're, I don't necessarily know on your inner self if your ultimate goal is for you to be great at this profession and get the most money you could ever get. Maybe that's your goal. I don't know. But that preacher at least would be calling it like it is and saying it up front that, look, yes, my goal is to preach the word, but it's also to make a living out of this. And for me to make a living out of this, I need to get paid. But people are scared to say that. They still stay behind that little shield saying that, yeah, you know, I would like donations if you want me to preach here. It could still call it a donation. And then you'll have another preacher that really is donating his word, donating his time, donating, you know, who's really a nonprofit preacher. And then that preacher, he will get his tithe. He would get his, not tithe, but he would get his payment, but he wouldn't expect a payment. You understand? So, but the problem nowadays, the way the preachers are now, is that each one is going up this ladder of the of trying to be the better preacher, better preacher, better preacher. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them are trying to be a better preacher so that they can excel and do good for themselves and get paid more ultimately. But they're not calling it like it is. They're still saying that, yeah, I'm nonprofit, but this is my profession. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense when you're saying the two together.
Well,
for example, you guys playing music for the churches, you know, if you call it like it, I know it's tough. It's tough. It's tough to say it to people's face. Me, the way I am, I would appreciate if a man told me, like, yeah, you know, I'm doing this, I'm good at it, I'm great at it, and I would love to get paid for it. Okay, and I would totally give my money to that guy if I knew he was just that good at it, and he earned, you know, not only earned, but he deserves that money just for, I just want him to take that money and just become better, because I like the way he touches me when he plays his music. I would totally pay for it with no problem whatsoever. But
hold
don't
on.
Come to me and tell me, yeah, you know, I would
right
pay.
Now, I don't want to cut you off, Mr. Epiphany. I don't want to have to cut you off. But tonight,
what do you think?
We started the show late. And
oh, okay, I got
it's
you.
Like 48 seconds left. But this topic will be tomorrow night, too. I'm going to continue this topic because I want to try to get different musicians. I even want preachers to call in. So whoever is listening to this, make sure you call in tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. The number is 773-897-6319. We're talking about money, church, musicians, and preachers. Please, don't be scared to call in. We want to hear your points of views on this topic. Join us tomorrow evening. I can't wait to see you on the air. This is Minister Jay Miller. Until the next night on the air. Peace.
Amen.
Listen.
What's up, fellas?
Listen, man.
Are we still on or no?
Yeah, we're still on. We're still on right here. But this part right here, this is the little after section. So the ones that listen to the archive of this, they'll be able to hear everything that we're saying now. This is just a little bonus, little stuff. But listen, ex-Catholic tomorrow, Brother Aaron Spradley, Devil's Advocate. If you can, see if you can get some preachers, man, and some musicians that you know to call in who've played in church and dealt with different experiences. We want to hear different takes and different views on this topic. Not to be controversial, but we want this show can only be great if we hear different points of views on it, because we can only speak from our experiences, but it's many experiences when it comes to money, church, musicians, and preachers. That's out there. You know what I mean? So this is a wide range. I really want to make this kind of like a series. I want to make this a series because this is not a topic that you can just finish in one episode.
Yeah,
there's too many stories dealing with this.
A big part of it, yeah.
You know what I mean? Too many stories dealing with this. And tonight, you know what I mean, to all the listeners out there who was listening, who are going to listen, you know, I apologize that we weren't able to, you know, be on here the time that we were supposed to. You know, we do two-hour shows, but I hope if you listen to this tonight that you join us tomorrow, Monday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 11, tomorrow night, dealing with the topic. Let's talk money, church, musicians, and preachers. And at this time right now, our brother Aaron, he's going to have some words, the devil's advocate. He need to have his little moment and segment to just give y'all some insight on where this show is heading and what to look for in the future with dealing with Dirty Church Radio.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot going on. We're going to have some awesome topics. We're going to let sometimes some faithful listeners and some faithful callers who call in, we're going to get them to pick some topics out for us sometimes. I mean, our topics are going to range from money in the church all the way to, you know, the actual history of the church and the history of the Bible, and we're really, really going to get to some real academia dealing with religion and cultures, and we're not just going to talk about religion. We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about husbands and wives and what actually makes relationships work, what makes relationships fail. We will even talk about sex. We will even, you know, talk about people who are actually addicted to some type of drug or addicted, have a very, very addictive personality. We're going to talk about everything here. This is the true platform where everybody has a chance to vent, has a chance to express their views, has a chance to even testify, has a chance to just let everything that you would not normally be allowed to express or to say within your local churches or in your family or you know, even to your spouses. This is a place to get it all out. And
yes,
we are,
yes,
really, really expecting great things. We're going to have some, you know, preachers calling. We're going to have deacons calling. We're going to have callers calling. You know, we're going to touch base with everything. And, you know, just keep listening. Keep being supportive. And we promise you that this show, Dirty Church Radio, is going to be awesome.
Wow.
Holla at your boy.
Peace out. Look forward to the next episode tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Let's talk money, church, musicians, and preachers. To the next time, man. Peace. I love you, brothers. Mr. X Catholic, I hope
too.
You join us tomorrow night, man.
Definitely.
At 9 p.m., man. We
definitely
on the air live, man. Prime time. We on
sure.
there. So y'all brothers, enjoy y'all night.
All right, take care.
Peace.